This is an Amos on the Go podcast. I'm Bill Klaproth, and with me is Dr. Michael Block. Dr. Block is currently the section editor on dental implants for the Journal of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery, and formerly served on the Amos Committee on Continuing Education and Professional Development as chair of the Subcommittee on Dental Implants. And Dr. Block joins us today to discuss dynamic surgical guidance and reasons to use navigation for implant placement and planning. Dr. Block, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice to talk with you, too. So first off, why use surgical navigation? Is improved accuracy confirmed with evidence-based studies?
Well, it's interesting. If you talk to a lot of people, they say, I'm doing fine the way I am. But if you really look at what's been done and measure it, so you get a real objective view, the average error for putting an implant in is about 8 degrees off angle, about 8 degrees. And that's been confirmed by multiple people, multiple studies. So that's a pretty good number. And when you navigate, whatever system you use, you take that 8 and it turns into 3 degrees. Plus the platform, in other words, the center where the implant is, tends to be closer to 1 millimeter from the plan when you use a navigation method versus freehand, or I like to call it the eyeball technique, where you use your eyeball. It's a little more inaccurate, especially when you're doing something on your non-dominant side. So I'm lefty. So if I'm working on the right side, it's harder because I'm looking around a curve, and to get things angled right and precision marked right, it's hard. So navigation takes you and makes you a better technical surgeon. Then we've done several studies on that with multiple different surgeons, and there must be 15 articles now out on every one of them showing that navigation methods, one way or another, will improve the accuracy of implant placement. Now, you can certainly freehand it and get it perfect, no doubt about that. But you can also freehand it and every now and then get one that's maybe a little too close to a tooth, or maybe the spacing's not right. And what happens is the downside, the download on that is someone's got to restore that implant. And if it's not real easy, and if they're too close together, you can have problems. And I think anyone who puts a lot of implants in will tell you that there's a couple of them they've put in they'd like to put in again or have back. But the navigation just decreases that number. So there's tremendous evidence that it works. There's no doubt it works. So it's a matter of whether somebody will drink the Kool-Aid and decide that they want to do that.
Right. So surgical navigation is proven. The evidence shows it is more accurate. So then the question is, why don't more people use it?
So I ask people that all the time because I'm always curious, and some of them say, I'm fine the way I am. And when a surgeon says that and the restorative people are in the audience, you can just see them chuckle. It's really kind of humorous. And you realize that the people who are doing it, they think they're fine the way they are. It's a matter of whether you're not going to do something different, maybe buy a new upgraded phone or an old phone or the old whatever. It's a habit forming. We're very creatures of habit. So we get good at what we do, and then we don't want to change. And change is hard to do. But that's one reason people don't do it. And there's a cost involved in it. You know, it's $30,000 or so to buy the machine. And there's maybe an incremental per patient cost for a clip or something. But you can incorporate that into your planning. And actually, for most oral surgeons, that's really not a high number. It's really not.
So to you, then, the added expense is worth it?
Well, to me, the added expense is worth it because now I can relax when I do my surgeries and not as stressed. The accuracy is good. And when my referrals see my implants coming back nicely placed, they send me more patients. So it's a nice practice builder too. And I'll tell you, the interesting thing is the patients love it and they like the technology being used on them. They say, are you going to look in my mouth when I do it? I said, I'm going to look in your mouth and I'm going to be looking at the screen too. I said, it's just the same thing if you have your gallbladder out. Nobody does it open anymore. They look at a screen to do the surgery. And the orthopedic surgeons are using navigation to put hips in and knees in. So it's a very commonplace, but the patients really like it. They think it's the coolest thing they've ever seen. So all I get is benefits from it. It's a win-win. So the cost is not that much. I mean, oral surgeons make a pretty reasonable amount of revenue. And so this is really just not that expensive. It's really not.
And you bring up a good point. If it increases referrals, this can help offset the cost.
Oh, it really does. I'll tell you one thing, it's interesting. The referral who's making the crowns on the teeth, they want them perfect. They want it. They don't want any hassle. They want the screws coming out where the screws are supposed to come out, the spacing right, hygiene right. They don't want things crooked because then they got to do all kinds of silly things to make it work. So they love that. And once they see you're doing a quality job doing that, and it doesn't cost them any money because you're doing the workup for them, they love it. So it's a good practice builder. It really is.
So you were saying when you do this, you can kind of relax a little bit in doing this. So does the use of surgical navigation then, it sounds like it takes less time, or does it take more time for the clinician before or during surgery? It seems like it's a benefit on both before and after. Is that fair?
Well, it depends on how you do it. The workup itself takes literally 5 minutes with most of the dynamic systems. It's very quick. You don't have to send it out to get static guides made. You're just all ready to go. So from that point of view, the workup is very time efficient. One of my staff sets it up and calibrates it, so I don't have to worry about that. I walk in the room and just start the surgery. So it takes me about the same amount of time to put an implant in with navigation than without it. If I'm doing a full arch case, it actually saves time because everything fits in. I don't need static guides. I don't need stackable guides. So it's pretty time efficient. Like anything, it takes a little time to get used to. So you got to actually practice it a little bit. If you can play a video game or if you're not too ADD, you can get this down real quick. It's really simple.
Yeah, so you're making some really good points for this. How long have you been using navigation and how often in your own practice?
Well, I'm sort of a techno nerd. You don't know me very well, but I like this stuff. And so I started using navigation with surgical guides a long time ago. And then when a company called Image Sciences started with a dynamic system, I got a hold of one. And then they didn't have venture capital, right? They didn't have some user-friendly part. And then as soon as the one that I use came out, and I got the second machine in February of 2015. So I've been using it for over 8 years now, 8.5 years. And it's just really good. When I talk to people that have not used navigation, they tell me how stressed they were to put the implants in just to get them just right or do this. And then when they use navigation, they say, I'm a lot more relaxed because the computer is helping me perfect this. So I've been using it for a long time. I got thousands of cases.
Yeah. So you're a self-described techno nerd. I love that. So for non-techno nerds, what is involved in the learning of this? And is the learning curve difficult?
The learning curve is not difficult. What a lot of people do in their office is they have one of their staff people put the clip in, which is going to be your fiducials. That's your reference point. So they do the clip. And then a lot of them actually have the staff put the CT scan onto the system itself, and you just come in and just work it up real quick. Or some of them even train their staff to do that, and the staff does the workup, and then they come in and just modify it a little bit as they need to. So it really depends on how each office works. But some people do their own scans and some people don't. It's just whatever their particular preference is. So it's very user-friendly. The thing about learning it, you have a trainer that comes in that trains you. And then you could also do over the shoulder where you can watch somebody use it, which is really useful. And those two techniques in general, in general surgery, colonoscopies and all that, have been a very well-proven way. So simulation is another way to do it. So you can simulate it and practice it on a mannequin with a trainer. And then you could see somebody actually do it and watch somebody who's using it over the shoulder. It's not very difficult to do. You just have to position yourself properly and have the screen oriented the same way that you're standing. And then you just drill the holes. I mean, it's really not that complicated. It's relatively simple.
Dr. Block, is this one of those things where people might be beforehand saying to themselves, oh, this is going to be hard. I don't want to do this. I'm not sure about this. And then they do it and they say, oh, gosh, this wasn't as hard as I thought. Maybe I shouldn't have resisted for so long. Is that kind of the situation here?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Interesting, it's probably age dependent too. The older surgeons are going to have a much more difficult time because some of them have trouble just right-clicking. I mean, not anymore, but some people are more user-friendly with the digital world. But the younger oral surgeons, I mean, the younger surgeons coming out, my residents pick it up. They watch me do it. And then the next time they're doing it at the school, I may watch over their shoulder and give them a couple pointers, but I don't even need to scrub in. I mean, they're nailing it. It may take them a case or two. Some are faster than others, but in general, it takes a case or two, and then you're right on board.
Right. So for the average person, it shouldn't be very hard to pick up at all. You know, you said there's certainly good training. And then after a couple of sessions, you should have it down pretty well.
Yeah, I would say that's true. Everyone's learning curve is going to be different. Statistically, it's 10 cases that you really get steady state at 2 to 3 angle deviation.
Okay.
So it's about 10 cases. But the first couple cases you do are still better than freehanding it. That's the interesting part. You may start and instead of being 8 degrees, you may be 4 degrees off and then 3.5 degrees and then 2 degrees off. And you can tell on the screen where you are. So you can actually see the angle deviation when you're putting them in.
Well, like you said, the evidence says surgical navigation is more accurate, so it is a benefit. And it seems like both for the patient and for the OMS as well. Well, Dr. Block, this has really been fascinating. As we wrap up, anything else you want to add about dynamic surgical guidance?
Well, I think it's in its infancy, just like cone beam scanners were in the infancy and they took them 4 or 5 years to catch on. I think surgeons are going to see the benefit of this. And if any of them ever go to get orthopedic surgery done, all the orthopedic surgeons are doing navigation to put hips in and knees. And they've gone to it. The ENTs have gone to it. The neurosurgeons. I mean, everyone's heading that way because of the accuracy. And I think oral surgeons are very responsible surgeons. They're very poised. They're very mature. They just want to do what's best for their patients. It's just a matter of them getting out of their everyday routines and doing this. It takes a little bit of effort to do it, but once they start doing it, they're not going to go back. So,
absolutely. Well, Dr. Block, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure talking to you, and you have a good day, and stay happy and healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, that is Dr. Michael Block. And for more information, visit AAOMS.org. That's AAOMS.org. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it on your social channels and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening.